Will you just bow with me for a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, as we have reflected upon your sacrifice, we commune with you, we draw near to you, we thank you for that time. Father, open up our hearts and our minds to what you have to speak to us today through this message that we are going to share together. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you've got your Bibles and you know what we've been doing, we've been looking through this summer, we've been vacationing with Jesus. We've been traveling with Jesus. I just like the picture of taking a trip, and I think I'm just anxiously awaiting a vacation of my own, probably. So in September, we're going to be going up to Michigan at least. We'll get up there and go up to the Sleeping Bear Dunes and have some fun time with our family. And so we're looking forward to that. But I'm like, so maybe I'm in all this vacation mode, like travel talk, and I think about the things that happen on road trips and the conversations that happen on those trips. And this is what we've been doing. We've been looking at all the times in the Gospel of Luke where Jesus is traveling. He's traveling with his disciples somewhere. And what is taught? What is shared at those moments? Because I think that's interesting. What is Jesus' travel talk like? What is it that they have a conversation over? And what can be a benefit to us in our own walks with Christ? I titled this one, Keep Your Eyes on the Road. I think it's probably a good advice for anybody who is driving a vehicle, operating any kind of machinery. Keep your eyes focused on what you need to be focused on, right? You have to have a goal in mind, a place you're going to go. We're traveling down the road. If you're driving and you want to make a trip, if you want to put it in reverse and drive all the way in reverse on your trip, that's fine. You're free to do that, but I don't want to be in the vehicle with you, okay? Just make sure I'm not signed up to travel with you. And I'm great, so that's right. But I think about this need to keep our eyes on the road. We need to keep focused, and how important that is as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And how easily it is to get distracted or turn to other things or look other ways and be thinking that you're traveling in the right direction, but be going all over the place. That's why I think the writer of Hebrews wrote it perfectly. In Hebrews chapter 12, they started out this after talking about the people of faith. If you remember that in Hebrews 11, he talks about this what we should be doing because of this great cloud of witnesses. He says, this is what we do. We fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Karl Barth used to say, you've probably heard me quote Karl Barth before, he used to say, if the center is correct, the circumference takes care of itself. And I think it's really key to think about what that center is. What is the focus? What is the goal in mind? But the story today that I'm going to be sharing with you from Luke chapter 9 is really kind of an interesting one. If you have been following along with us, last week we talked about that passage right before this where Jesus gets a bunch of disciples together. They go through the town in Samaria, and the Samaritans there don't welcome them, if you remember that. They're all angry and upset about it, and they're like, man, we want fire to rain down on this place now, God, right? And they're waiting for that to happen. And then we get these three characters right after that as the journey continues, as they keep traveling. And in Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 57, that's where we're going to land today. It's really interesting to me. I've got a big question, and that's really what I've been wrestling with this week. My question is, what is the big deal, Jesus? This sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? Because we're like, oh, don't talk about that, Blake. But the interesting thing is, all of these people seem to have good excuses or good reasons or for what they're doing and what's going on in their life, and Jesus just turns them away. And so my big question is, what gives? What's the big deal? Right? Well, maybe we'll be able to answer that together as we look at this. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. As they were walking along the road, we love that, the walking along the road, there's our travel talk. A man says to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, just first let me go and bury my father, then I will follow you. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and just say goodbye to my family. Jesus said, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Whew. Right? I'm just thinking, man, okay, so these seem like pretty reasonable responses, reasonable requests, especially that third guy. He just wants to go back and say bye to his family. He's going to come right back and follow you, Jesus. What is the big deal? Why are you sending him away? I don't understand this. I was hearing my daughter this morning. She was talking about all the things that she sees out her window. And today it was kind of a foggy morning, if you remember. And she looks out. She wants to see the church building every time. She has that desire to just see it out her window, go over there and make sure she can see it. It's still there. But today she said, to Jessica and myself, she said, the church isn't there anymore. I can't see it. We're going to have to go to a different church today. Well, I don't want to break your heart, Ezzy, but sometimes just because you can't see it because of the fog doesn't mean it's not there. It's still there. We're going to go there today. It'll be okay. Everything's going to be all right. She gets me worried for a little bit because I'm like, well, I hope nothing happened to the building over there, but if it did, maybe we can call the Seventh-day Adventists and go over there. They don't use their building on Sunday, so we can go use that, right? So, but I thought, well, all right, we can, we got to do something. And I think, okay, Ezzy, you're given a good picture of what you have here in your journey and your vision and what you can see and how to best to focus in and why it's important to see where you're going and know what's ahead and what's happening and to keep our focus and to keep that on the journey. If you remember, last week we talked about really the reason the Samaritans did not accept Jesus and his disciples, because it says in the Gospel of Luke, it says Jesus had his eyes fixed on Jerusalem. Now, we talked a little bit about what that was about and what that's like, and he's got his eyes fixed on Jerusalem. And what that means is that he's got his eyes fixed on his death. He's got his eyes fixed on suffering. He's got his eyes fixed on the journey that's ahead and what he's going to have to face at that point. He's already, in Luke chapter 9 itself, told his disciples two times, two different occasions, hey, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to die. And they say, I don't know about that. So then there's these three guys that show up in this story. The first one, let's look at his journey here. As they're walking along the road, this man comes up to Jesus and he says to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus responds to him, foxes have dens and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Interesting statement. We don't even know what happens to this guy, if he just walks away sad about this or what happens there. Why does Jesus ask that or say that? Like, this guy just said, I'm going to go wherever you go. He just wants to travel along with Jesus. He wants to hitch a ride on this vacation with Jesus, and he just wants to be a part of it. Jesus tells him then, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I think If we think about what Jesus is saying here, he's talking about himself. Do you really want to follow a homeless man? Interesting, right? Would you really like to follow a homeless man? Because that's what Jesus is saying to him, right? So if you put yourself in that case, if you thought about that and you thought, man, I'm going to do this, and then that it's a homeless man, and that homeless man says, I don't have any place to lay my head. I sleep outdoors on the rocks. We just travel and we just sleep, and we don't really have a home. We've left our homes. We've left everything else. Jesus shares that about foxes and birds and their homes. What happens in a fox den? That's where they have their family, right? They have all their home. They have all their babies. They have take care of everything. Same thing goes for birds in the air. The birds have their nests, and what happens in nests? Well, that's where they lay their eggs. They take care of them. They eventually raise up their chicks from that place, and they can soar. So what Jesus is saying to him is, do you really want to follow a homeless man? You really want to follow somebody who just doesn't have a place to call home? And I think sometimes we think in our mind, oh, you know, maybe like this guy. I think it was probably his thought. I'll follow you wherever you go if it is a place that I want to go to. I don't know if some of you might have that same response, same idea, or same thoughts at some point. It's that idea, Jesus, as long as you're going to Hawaii, I'm going to follow you. But if you send me to North Korea, there's no way. You see what I'm saying? I think that's what this guy's kind of dealing with. I think that's what Jesus is seeing in his heart. I think it's like, this is what I'm calling you to. This is my desire. I want you to focus on nothing else back home. I want you to think about me. What's the big deal with this, though? Response, Jesus. I, you know, okay. You don't have any place to lay your head. Big deal. I'll travel with you anyway. The next one's interesting, too, because you can clearly tell Jesus has an agenda with this guy. Because Jesus actually says, he points out to a guy, right? He says, hey, you, follow me. Isn't that interesting? The second guy, Jesus actually says, you follow me. And this guy, he kind of has a reasonable request. His request is, his dad just passed away. He just lost his father. He wants to go back and have his funeral. And I have the idea that if he just goes back and he has his dad's funeral, he'll come back and he'll follow Jesus. Is this not a reasonable request to anybody else? If you put yourself in that place, if you said, okay, I want to follow you, Jesus, but my dad just passed away. I need to go back home and be with my family. I just need to get things lined out there. I need to help be a part of things. I just need to wait a little bit. So why is Jesus so upset about this guy? Why does he say, all right, go back and let the dead bury the dead. I want you to go and proclaim the kingdom of God. That statement leaves me in shock a little bit. I mean, what is your deal, Jesus? These people are wanting to follow you. They're planning on this. They have this desire in their heart, and you just keep turning them away. In fact, he did it earlier in this same chapter. Do you remember that? When he did it with the person that he healed of the demon-possessed man. Oh, sorry, it was Luke chapter 8, so it was a chapter ago. I'm sorry about that. In that moment when he had healed that man with the demon possession, he sent all those demons into the pigs. You remember this? And then that man says, hey, Jesus, I want to follow you and I want to go with you. And Jesus says, nope, go back to your home and tell them what happened to you. Jesus is just, in the Gospel of Luke, it's mind-boggling that he's kind of like having this attitude, isn't it? I mean, wouldn't you want people to be following you, Jesus? It makes sense. I mean, look at our world today. Look at how churches act and treat each other and live that way and say, you want to be attracted to us. We want you to be attracted to come in here and be a part of this. And we want everything to look good and look nice and everything. Don't get me wrong. This is not a bad thing. It's just not the right thing. And so if we think about Jesus and we think about his journey, he's not talking about anything like that. He's not talking about, oh, you should go back and you should take care of this. Jesus says, no, let the dead bury the dead. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God. You go and proclaim life. Isn't that interesting? Still, I can't wrap my mind around it. I'm still wondering, what gives, Jesus? What is the big deal? The guy lost his dad. Let him just go back and have the funeral, and then he'll come back and follow you. Makes perfect sense to me. That's not what Jesus wanted. I find it very interesting, very odd. Look at this third guy. This third guy comes up and he actually starts the conversation with Jesus. I will follow you, but first let me go back and just say goodbye to my family. I'll be right back. I mean, this guy's talking about what? Maybe a 30-minute trip back to his house and then he's joining them on the journey? What is the big deal? What is the problem with that? I mean, he just wants to go say goodbye to his family. Right? You could wait 30 minutes, Jesus, right? You don't have to keep moving on. You don't have to just, you know, I got to keep this journey going, even though you have to do that. I think it's bigger than that, isn't it? Jesus says to him, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. What gives, Jesus? He just wants to say goodbye to his family. These reasonable requests, these ideas, I'm gonna come right back. It's a 30-minute journey. I'll be back and we'll join you up on this traveling journey with you. I want to know, what is the big deal? Why does this matter so much? Jesus says it to a man who comes to him and says, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says, I'm going to the cross. I'm a homeless man. I'm going to be beaten, have nails put in my hands and feet, have a crown of thorns put upon my head. You want to go there with me? And the next guy, Jesus says, follow me. He tells him, I want you to follow me. I want to invite you to go with me. The guy says, no, I just lost my dad. I'll be right back. I could follow you, though, after that. And Jesus says, nope. Go away. Choose whether you're going to let the dead bury the dead, or you're going to be a living person who's dealing with the dead, or you're going to be walking in life and sharing that life. Again, not a bad thing. Not a bad thing to go have your dad's funeral. I mean, that's just understandable, right? We're not saying that. The next guy, he just wants to go say goodbye to his family. But Jesus, he knows all of this stuff. He knows these three people's hearts. He knows what's going on. And even in the midst of that, he asks the guy who just lost his dad. He knows this guy just lost his dad. This is Jesus, by the way, right? And he tells that man, he says, I want you to follow me. He probably knows how he's going to respond. So what gives? I think Jesus wants them to know something. This journey is not a journey of sunshine and roses and rainbows and butterflies. Sometimes you're not going to see your hand in front of your face. Jesus said it just a couple chapters ago in Luke chapter 6. He'll say it again in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 26, that's that wonderful statement that I have people ask me about all the time. Jesus actually says, if you don't hate your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your brother-in-law, sister-in-law, everybody in your family in a spirit of that, and follow me, you won't be my disciple. Jesus has it in his heart to say, if anything is clouding your view, if anything is causing a fog, if anything's trying to stop you from your relationship with him, you got to get rid of it. You've got to put it away, put it aside, get rid of it, even if it means something so good like your home and your family and your friends. Jesus says, nothing should take priority over me. Like I told you, these are not bad things. These are just not what Jesus desires of us. One of those reasons that we're Free Methodist is because we want to be set free from anything that stops our relationship with Jesus. Anything that could cloud our relationship with Jesus. This is what it means to be Free Methodist. To say we will not let anything distract us, nothing will take priority, we will not have any other idols within our heart, we will not put anything else on the throne of God except God himself. He is who is king. He is Lord and master. And whenever I put things above on that same throne and they take place over Jesus, then we're doing something wrong. Even if they're not necessarily bad things. Because there are a lot of things out there that are just inherently neutral. Like money. Jesus never says money is bad. In Timothy, it says the love of money is the root of all evil. Because you love it more than you love Christ. Having a home is not a bad thing. But what Jesus says is, I'm a homeless guy. When you say you want to follow me, you're saying you want to follow a homeless man. On a journey to death. This is why Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, and then again in Luke chapter 14, and then right here in Luke chapter 9, there's this statement. Even in the translators of our Bibles put it up in bolder print, the cost of following Jesus. Dietrich Bonhoeffer called it the cost of discipleship. He wrote a whole book on it. It's about that thick, and it's just on the Sermon on the Mount. And it's a big cost, it's a big load to say, I'm going to follow Jesus. But I love how Dallas Willard put it, the cost of discipleship is less than the cost of undiscipleship. A person gets this cost of undiscipleship, if they're not getting there, they're not journeying, they're not growing, they're not walking with Christ, they're not truly understanding who he is. And what I'm upset about in so many churches around our world and our country, there are places who water down the gospel of Jesus in order to make other people feel comfortable to come in the doors. They're not training up disciples because they're not talking about this struggle, this journey, and what this means for your life. On the same focus, on the same touch of things, we are saying that if you're not going to be discipled, that's even worse of a cost. We want you here. We want you to be welcome here. We want you to know we care about you, but we don't want to ever water it down to say that this journey with Christ is ever just an easy road. Jesus says it in Matthew chapter 7. He says, the road that leads to life is very narrow, and only a few find it. The road that leads to destruction, Jesus says, is wide and broad, and many go down that. You know why he says that? Because he knows our hearts, and he knows what desires go to us, and he knows that there's going to be things on this journey that are going to cloud our vision and say, no, I got to do this, I got to do that. First, let me go take care of this, then I'll go to church. First, let me go and take care of this, and then I'll follow you, Jesus. And Jesus says, nope. If you're going to put your hand to the plow, keep looking ahead. You can't plow a very good field if you're looking behind you the whole time. I don't know what kind of rows you'd be making, but I don't think many farmers would call you to do their fields. And I think what Jesus is saying here is, I want your undivided attention. I want you. I want you to be all in for me. I don't want you to surrender just a part of your life. I don't want you to be okay with saying, okay, I've got this side of my life where I'm a Christian and I'm doing these good things, and then this other side of my life where I'm just in the world. It's my normal self. What he says to the church in Laodicea in Revelation chapter 2 is right there for you. He says, if you're neither hot nor cold, but you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. What? He'd rather you be ice cold, because then at least you'd be a refreshing drink. I don't want this middle ground. I don't want these people standing on the fence. I don't want them to say, I got to go do this first. I've got to go do this first. I want to do this. I always love this one. I want to get my life right before I go and follow Jesus. What are you talking about? You should want to follow Jesus, and then you get your life right, because he's the one who gets your life right. So you're going in the opposite direction. You're never going to be able to get your own life right. That's why I just chuckle and nod when people say to me their promise is to be a better person. What do you mean? It's like treating the symptoms but ignoring the disease. This is down there. This is only Jesus who can cure this, can get this out of you, and yet you're just trying to take care of everything else that's around it. You're never going to be doing that. So what Jesus' heart is to say, focus on me. If you want to be my disciple, Jesus says, you have to deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Get ready for a struggle, but know that I will be with you on that journey. Even if this journey is hard, think about what Jesus' journey was like, where he's traveling to. We're journeying with Jesus through this as we're traveling with Jesus. Think about where he's traveling to. He's traveling to his death. He's already told them that. He's fixed on it. I'm going there. The disciples think Jesus is going to Jerusalem because he's going to set up his kingdom and everything is going to be great, and he's going to rule and he's going to beat all the Romans and everything's going to be wonderful. But Jesus is going there to die. It shocks people. That's not what's supposed to happen. That's not how he's supposed to work. He's supposed to go where I want to go. He's supposed to let me do whatever I want to do before I can follow him, when Jesus is just saying, I want you, and I want you now. And I want you to never lose sight of me. I want you to realize that the life that you are following for me is exactly what he says in John chapter 10, verse 10, when he says, I'm here to give you life, and life more abundant. The thief is here to steal and destroy your life. Who are you going to follow? Who are you going to be all in for? Because none of this standing on the fence anymore. None of this bouncing back and forth. We're either going to be all in for Jesus, or we're going to be all out. I don't know about you, but I'm all in. That's way better. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you right now thanking you so much for this interesting story, this conversation you have with these three people. This conversation of obedience and commitment, keeping our eyes focused on you and the journey that's ahead. There's a lot that just keeps being questions, but God, we recognize who you are and what you desire of us. Because God, you know that there's nothing greater than having a relationship with the King of the universe. And you know why that's a better thing. And that's why you desire this relationship with us. So that's why we come to you. We walk with you. We follow you. Even if it costs us everything. Even if it means they're going to hate us. Even if it means we are put to death, we are walking with you. We don't have to turn aside to anything else. We want to follow you because you need to be what matters in our life. Our center needs to be correct. So we keep our eyes fixed upon you. Father, we repent when we turn aside to other things. We thank you for being a God who forgives us and gives us grace in the midst of those mess ups. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.